But that brick house wasn't built one afternoon. Maybe the straw one was, and maybe the stick one was built like in a week, you know. But that brick house took a lot of time. Yeah. And so that is why it was ready to stand the test when the wolf came. And I think we have to remember that when it comes to family discipleship, this is not a one-time fix, a one-time thing. Well, we prayed this week, you know. The same is true. We can't just eat on Monday nights and be good, you know. Like, we have to feed our bodies the same way we have to feed our souls. We have to feed our kids the truth and build those blocks over time to build something really strong.
Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host for today, Ben Borgman, and as you can see, no Craig. Again, another episode without Craig. We gave him the day off. So nice. Did you give him the day off? Did you tell him?
He didn't ask me.
I think we just didn't tell him. We just like sneaky, like, hey, we're just not going to do this today. But no. But no, it's July, so we're letting him have a little time off and, you know, kind of revive and refresh.
That's right.
And so, but it's going to be a great day in the podcast room today. We've got two special guests back with us for the second time. You didn't run out during the break, Martha.
We didn't. I didn't. No. I'm still here.
Nope. And Dallas has to be here because we pay him. He works here. He gets insurance, so he has to.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of a big deal.
Unless he wants his kids to, you know, not have insurance, he has to be here.
We will stay here as long as you need.
That's good insurance.
So anyway, this is our second episode that we have done with Martha and Dallas. They are Dallas's other role is with Disciple First, but his main role is partner in crime with you, Martha, at With Families, a family discipling ministry really focused on worship in the home.
Yep.
And so we talked.
That's what With stands for.
That's what it stands. There you go. It stands for something.
A lot of people don't know that. They're like, you just picked a preposition as your name.
We like the word with, but it does stand for worship in the home.
Yep.
But we say it's, you know, we're here to help families spend time with God, with His Word, and with each other.
Boom. Look at that.
Done.
Very creative.
Thank you. It's all God.
I guarantee you Dallas didn't come up with that.
I came up with the word and
oh,
the acronym.
You did come up with the acronym.
Look at you.
Then I went straight to a Google Doc and I started like, we were on a roll that one Christmas night when God birthed with. That is for sure.
Full of it.
Oh, yeah. Full of ideas.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so this is our second episode last time. So if you're watching or listening, go back to the episode before this one. It is about why disciple making the home is so critical. We had a great conversation about that. Just this idea that, you know, as parents, we have a responsibility, but we also have a great opportunity. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity to make an impact. So go back and watch that. But today we're going to talk all about how do we actually do that.
That's right.
We don't want to just be theoretical. We don't want to just say, hey, you should do this. We want to give our listeners, churches and parents and everybody, disciple makers, just practical ways that they could go right now and make an impact in their home and discipling their families.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. Really practical. You and I, you kind of mentioned it on the tail end of that previous episode. You kind of mentioned a study that you and I were talking about this in preparation for this podcast, Dallas, and it was put out by onehope.net, and it was talking about Gen Alpha. It's really hard. I'm getting old, so like I'm like, you know, now we're going through, you know, I can remember when millennials were kids. You know, of course, my wife's right on the verge of that, but it was all the reports are about how to reach millennials. Then it's Gen Z. Now we're all the way to Gen Alpha and probably about to go to another one soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Gen Alpha, that is from 2010 to current. And so basically like that, I guess my daughter would be a bridge between Gen Z and Gen Alpha because she was born in 2010. But this generation of young kids, actually, I was actually pleasantly surprised by the data, but especially among Christian Gen Alpha kids, they actually value parents' input. They go to them for advice. A couple of the things that stood out to me were directly questions about right and wrong. Over 80% go to their parents. Like, yep, I'm going to go to my parents for questions on over right or wrong. And especially a hot topic right now, gender and sexuality. So But if you could frame that as cultural ideas, what's going on in this world around me, they actually value their parents' input, 76% of them. That's where they're going to go first, is what my parents says and what my parents value and their perspective matters than any more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty surprised with that. But then again, we go back to this idea as a parent, that becomes a lot of weight to bear. Man, they're counting on me. This is riding on me as a parent. But again, we're not doing this alone. We're doing this with the Holy Spirit's help. And so, but we want to get into this idea of how do we actually be this person that, you know, a worthy person for our parent, for our kids to come look to and ask. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do we do this thing called disciple making in the home? And so, Dallas, you said some of the easiest things to do. Hey, we can overcomplicate this sometimes. I think we kind of talked about this last episode. Churches are great about, okay, you need to pray more, you need to disciple more, you need to be investing in your kids, but they either give you something that you're really not confident in how to use, or you're not prepared whatsoever. Like, you need to pray with your kids. Well, I don't even pray by myself. So you need to teach somebody to pray before they can help someone else learn to pray. So there's this idea of discipling. But then you also have some people that only focus on the individual and don't help a parent. What does this look like in the home? Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of where we are. But Dallas, you said that like a low-hanging fruit, easy thing to do is just go ahead and identify everyday moments. Like, what are moments you're already with your kids, and start making an investment there. And before you try to have, we're going to have this new family worship time. And it, like, sometimes we fail because we set the bar too high and we burn out. Let's maybe create this incremental process towards that, where we can have a every Wednesday night we have family worship night. But so tell me more about what you're saying about this. I kind of identify everyday moments.
First of all, the first time we did have like an official family worship night, it was a dramatic failure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It ended in tears.
Did you do an interpretive dance?
No, we were like, you know, as we said in the last episode, in New Jersey, we are the worship leaders at our church. So then we were like so convicted. We were like, we're going to do family worship. We're going to sing tonight as a family. We're going to read God's word. We're going to pray, talk, all these things.
We're going to pull out the instruments.
So we were like, we are going to pull out the instruments. I was like, I'll play the piano. Dallas, go get your guitar. Well, then the kids are like, we want to play something. So then we go get the little ukulele and the little djembe cajon box we have. And then it became this whole friction of who was going to get to play what. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, everybody was upset.
We played a whole song while they fought the whole time.
We did. And so then we just kind of wrapped it up that night.
Yeah.
But you know what? We got that first one out of our system. And we did learn at that point that an easy way to bring worship, like music and praise, into your home is also just Spotify and YouTube lyric videos. Yeah. Yeah. Because we were not at that point yet, you know, where we had emotional maturity to just sit and sing and share.
But it went so well in your head, didn't it? Wasn't it was going to be glorious. Your kids.
Kumbaya, candles lit, Amazing Grace, read all the Psalms.
What do you
mean
my five-year-old isn't eyes closed, hands in the air? You know, like, so you asked about everyday moments, and it goes back to the Shema, to Deuteronomy 6, where it's, you know, as you go and as you sit and as you lie and as you rise. And so you see four key moments that Moses identified as, hey, these are things that you're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not necessarily saying, like, have designated time, although I do think there's an implicit idea there. But, hey, as you are sitting at the table, eating, y'all are all going to do that. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. What are you sharing with your kids? Are you talking at all? This is the moment. It's already built into your day. Commandeer what you're talking about and make it a faith-filled spiritual moment.
Yeah.
There's all kind of ways to start doing that. One would be just asking a simple question, hey, where did y'all see God today? Start teaching them the idea of these God sightings, as we call them, or God moments, and express to them where you saw the Lord working in your life or at your work today, and give them an opportunity to understand how that might look.
And that's pretty simple. Yeah. Like, I mean, again, I've my kids are more grown, high school now, but I can, like, there was times, like, super simple. this is what God, this is how I got saw God show up in my day, or this is what God said to me this morning in my quiet time, or this is what I saw how God did this in a meeting, or you know, whatever that is. What did you see God do today? Like, mm-hmm. you can, again, that's pretty, now I take, you do have to be intentional, like, is God working in your life? That's where mm-hmm. I go back to the importance of really, you know, this idea of disciple making and making disciples in the home, so individual disciple making and in the family. But I think sometimes we're so scared we overcomplicate it, or we make it so big in our head. But that's just yeah. a super easy way. What else?
And there's as you go. Yeah. Okay, so that would have been originally walking. For the Israelites, it would have been as they were walking. But for us, it's probably as we're getting in a car, mm-hmm. going to school, going to whatever sports practice or activity, coming back from church, going to wherever. You have a captive audience.
Yeah.
Legally, they have to stay in their seats strapped in.
And the best part about the car is that there's no eye contact. So I feel like conversations actually sometimes flow even more freely because everybody can look other places and it's a little less intimidating. Yeah. Or it's a great place to sing because, again, there's no eye contact.
Yeah.
Like you are kind of in your own world.
Yeah.
We use the car to sing "This is the day the Lord has made" every morning. And then we all take a turn praying out loud in the car and praying for each other and each other's day. And it's like 5 minutes of the start of a drive.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. But like Dallas said, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
we're all yeah. here in the car together.
Now that, what Martha just shared is the result of, you know, years of building this culture.
Yeah.
But if you're just starting out, like it may be unrealistic to expect that everyone's going to want to pray. People are going to sing worship songs out loud. And so you just start using this time intentionally mm-hmm. where, hey, I'm going to at least play music that is spiritually beneficial for my kids.
Yeah.
Worship music that they know or can connect to. And sometimes that may be worship music that you don't particularly like. I know for my kids, the songs they love the most aren't exactly my favorite.
Yeah.
But it's the ones that let their hearts free
mm-hmm.
and they let their voices sing out.
Yeah.
So lean into that. And if you're not in a place where you have a culture of prayer and everyone's down to pray, this is an opportunity, and we've heard some pretty awesome stories about parents who just start praying prayers of blessing over their kids.
Yeah.
The kids have no idea what's going on. This may be the first time they're seeing mom or dad pray for them or over them, but they start to see, oh, not only do my parents believe in the Lord and believe that they need to speak to him, but look at what they're asking on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they love me.
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. want good things for me, and what they believe is good is determined by the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think car rides are the best way. And then you do have these natural places to have good conversation.
So again, I've already admitted in the previous episode, like I was not as intentional as I would like to be. Like looking back, like we didn't have, you know, these super great family times. But I'm so thankful for my wife being relational. I'm so thankful for God speaking to me and me being invested in so that at least he could prompt things. Like it wasn't as formal as I would like looking back. I'm like, I wish I could have been more formal with this or more. But car rides were big. Like worship music was impactful in my life. So like as God was kind of rewiring my brain, so we made that a part. And we have so many videos of our kids singing, like mispronouncing words. And like my daughter would always say, Alleluia, instead of Alleluia. And instead of Hallelujah, it was Alleluia. She had funny ways to do that. But then like, and so me and my son used to have we had a hunting lease. So it was 2.5 hours away. And so I would have big conversations sometimes with him because I'm like you said, you're not going anywhere. I've got you. We had the birds and the bees talk on the way to, for the first time on the way to the hunting lease because I had 2.5 hours. Yep. You can't get away from this.
Audience.
So we're going to do it. You know, we're going to talk about God's design and we're going to talk about, you know, how Satan's twisted that and all these things. And so anyway, I think that's a great one. Car rides, even for, you know, a guy like me.
One thing I've observed is, you know, you may have this inkling, my kid's not going to want to talk about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think God's put this inherent nature in kids to want to know more about him. And when you start feeding, like, you see their hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And I've observed, like, when you lean in, especially when they're little, and teenagers, it's a different story, I understand that. But they lean in a lot more than you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you go, that's one of the most fun ways, and you can get really creative. And there's as you rise, which is when you get up in the morning? Like, what are the things that, that you're setting in place so that when your children wake up, they're experiencing?
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean anything crazy. You were about to say something.
Well, yes, I was going to just shout out to Dallas. We call him DJ Dallas because in the mornings, that's when like worship music is playing. Yeah. And I think like when you rise, just to think about even before you open God's word, the sounds that fill your home and how you can create an environment in your home, even before the first word is spoken, that our kids like wake up and hear worship music. I just love that. And when Dallas forgets, the kids will remind him.
Yeah, that's good. Because it sets the tone. It's a great tone setter when they wake up, and it's hard to throw a fit sometimes if you're hearing about praising God and worshiping God, right? It just kind of helps diffuse some of those things that like to happen first thing in the morning when people didn't get enough sleep, or when they're late for something, or they didn't set out and they can't find something that they were supposed to, you know, should have set out the night before, or my daughter was the queen of that. Like, if things didn't go perfect, I mean, anyway. So, but that'd be a great idea to have that, you know, washing over your home.
And we've not mastered this part yet, but anytime we do, we see indescribable fruit. But it's the idea of scripture before screens. Mm-hmm. What do you go to first? You know, if we go to our screens first, we're going to feel like we went to our screens first.
Yeah.
When you go to scripture first, there's something totally different there when you've brought the word into the home first thing.
Yeah.
And my daughter, she's our sleeper. Like, she sleeps through every storm. She will sleep until 10 o'clock if we let her every day, and really does not appreciate when we get her up early. For whatever reason, one morning she got up early. Like, she just woke up, and she came to the couch, and I happened at that time to be reading the Word. And she sat there and realized, oh, we can get up in the morning and read together. Mm-hmm. And now she will choose to wake up early,
mm-hmm.
or she'll tell me, Daddy, before you read the Bible, can you come wake me up?
Yeah.
And so this summer, you know, we've started getting her up early. She comes, she sits down on the couch, we read a little bit of the Bible together,
mm-hmm.
and then she goes and reads her own stuff. Through that, we've seen just so much growth in her, mm-hmm. and just an excitement and hunger for the Word. And the only reason that woke up was because she saw one of us reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are your kids seeing you do in the morning?
Yeah.
And I don't want to make it sound like I'm bragging, because I miss those moments a lot. And it just so happened the Lord arranged it so that when she woke up early that morning, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
But what they see you doing in the morning, like, they really value that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so much so that, and this is a disciple first thing, she has me reading her through the Gospel Harmony, which is not like typical.
Yeah.
So my little like bragging on her, but she finds it fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Already getting her on the chronology of Christ's ministry and seeing the strategy emerge. She can be a future trainer.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah. And then finally there's As You Lie, which obviously means, what are you doing right before you go down for bed, right before sleep? And so we always make sure that if we don't have a family worship time, that we at least are praying over them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't go to sleep at this point unless we do. But those are moments all throughout your day that you can be utilizing without changing your schedule, without canceling this activity or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. It's just whether or not we choose to use them.
Yeah, and a few of those we did, like again, it wasn't intentional, but we captured some of those times. Like, we did make a priority of bedtime and tucking our kids in and making that important time where they would talk and communicate, especially my wife. My wife is super relational. So I say this because even today, like, I know it was impactful because now my 19-year-old son still wants his mom to tuck him in and talk. And again, it's different now, right? But
Carson.
Like, he will talk about things at that point in time that he would never talk. Like, you can ask him, well, what'd you do today? What'd you think today? What happened today? What are you scared about? But it comes out then.
Yep.
And so both of our kids still, it's not like every night, like, it, you know, but I mean, I guarantee it was longer than most kids, you know, but it wasn't like, you know, tuck me and read me a story. It was like, hey, I want to talk. And like, as they're winding down, and it was impactful, and you pray and you talk about your day and things like that. So to me, it's like, if somebody's out there listening, like, even if it is those small moments, those are big impact moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
if you can just find a few of those throughout the day, when your kid's 6, 3, 6, 8, and then watch when they're 19, mm-hmm. and you'll really see what was impactful and what was not.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great point, Ben, because you identified a moment where, hey, my son seems to be more prone to open up here. And it reminds me recently, within a few months ago, I was sharing with a friend how when we put Eloise down after she's been to school, I'll ask her on the way home from school, hey, tell me something that happened at school today. I don't know. And then I'll put her down, and like I'm trying to walk away. I'm tired. I'm ready to start getting ready for bed myself.
She's like, ready to tell you everything.
Dada. This is what happened, you know, and she'll start sharing. And in the moment, I'm like, really, right now? I was sharing this with my friend, and he called me. He's like, when she starts sharing, you stay as long as she needs you to.
Yeah.
And I think that was important for me to hear, just even from a disciple-making standpoint, just like if they open up, like you lean in, you stop what you're doing, it'll be okay.
And it's funny over seasons, too. So, like, car rides with teenagers after school, don't talk. They don't want to talk, and don't even try. You will be miserable trying to get them. But you think about all day long, they've been asked questions. It's like overstimulation and all this stuff. So the car ride home is not the time for that. And again, be patient, wait for that time and then all of a sudden, once they decompress and then, you know, laying down in the quietness, and then all of a sudden they, everything comes out. So anyway, that was great. Okay. What else?
I feel like in these everyday like moments, these hot spots that I like to think about them, it's using those tools like we know to use, like prayer and worship, God's word, in those teaching moments. Those are really great blocks to use in a family worship time. But really, God is calling us in Deuteronomy 6 to do them all throughout our day, to infuse the spots that we already have with discipleship. And so, yes, a family worship moment is fantastic, but you can also pray before bed, worship in the morning, and read a Bible story during dinner, you know, and talk about it while you eat, you know, or talk about it when they're finally opening up and you're trying to put them to bed.
Yeah.
You know, I even think about with littles, like moms with preschoolers, 1-2-year-olds, like another moment you have total captive audience with them is when you're giving them a bath and they can't bathe themselves. So you're going to be with them for however long that is. And for some mommies, you're sitting with them the whole time they're in the water. You want to make sure they're safe. That's another beautiful time to disciple your little one. And some people might think, well, they're one. How are they going to even understand this? But their heart is learning things like trust, safety, love, and you're laying that foundation for all of those things that point to, you know, you pray their relationship with their Heavenly Father one day. And so you're laying that foundation in the way that you can even show them love and safety and trust in bath time, you know, singing to them, telling them stories, just telling them how special God made them, how much God loves them. I think anytime you can have a captive audience, that's ding, ding, ding. Like that's a moment, you know, use it.
Yeah.
And as you start to utilize these moments for spiritual good, you'll start naturally protecting them and setting up the rest of your day so that those moments are more successful. And that even comes out in the way that you act personally in the home. If I know, hey, the most important part of tonight is when I read the Bible with my family, what is it going to say to the kids if I pull out the Bible, start reading them God's word, but all they've seen me be is short with them, snapping at their mom, and otherwise just being totally distant? And so it starts shaping your own heart because you're like, you know, I'm reading to them about their father or their holy father, but all they really know about a dad is me. So and you mentioned this a little bit in the last episode, am I reflecting the father that they're reading about? And, you know, and so you protect these moments a little bit more and you start trying to be the disciple you want them to be.
And I would just add to that, for moms, so much of a mom's role is the calendar. It's the signing up. It's the planning the vacation. It's the making sure you don't miss the deadline for this or that, or all the friends signed up for this, so we're going to sign them up too.
Yep.
And I want to just encourage moms that it's in those moments of the calendar too where you get to declare, like, for these moments of, no, I want to pick my kids up and be in the car with them. Or we're not going to do something every night of the week.
Yeah.
Like, pick one night, you know, because we still want to be home and have these moments and conversations happen with our kids. You know, how early of the practices are we going to commit to in the morning, or do we want some mornings at home? And I'm not saying that any of that stuff is bad.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you have to look at your calendar and really protect the things that you are valuing and the things that you're seeking after. You will be able to tell what your family prioritizes by your calendar, by your finances, mm-hmm. where you are, what you spend your time doing.
Chris Shirley, he's the dean of the School of Education over at Southwestern. He calls it having a sanctified calendar. does your calendar allow you to even have moments of disciple making?
Yeah, I think about, for most people out there, so if you're a church leader thinking about people in your church, most parents out there, I think they want to do this.
Yes.
Like, they want to, they just feel the pressure and ill-equipped to do it. I think the number one thing they have to do is, number one, they have to be walking with God. So, hey, get it. Like, if you don't have an adult disciple-making strategy, you need one of, you need one of those. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I think some people, then they just, they don't equip parents, and they just rely on them and tell them, hey, you should do this, you should do this, you should be doing this, hey, you need to do this. Well, yeah, they know that, but then actually, how do you put tools like that in front of your parents, that now that they are, the Holy Spirit's prompting them for those everyday moments. The Holy Spirit saying, hey, my calendar doesn't align with my priorities. How do I do that? And then all of a sudden you can take something, you know, a clear path, or, you know, some type of tool that says, here's how you do that. Let's make it simple for parents. How do we just make it easy? Because you're just saying, you got bath time, you got this time, you're doing this, you're busy, you're calendaring, you're doing all that. So how do we actually make this achievable and simple, and, you know, just right in front of people?
So there's a great little booklet by Donald S. Whitney. It's called Family Worship. I think it's really beneficial for any father or husband who wants to start developing that, or really any moms as well. But Donald Whitney presents kind of three areas that you should always strive to engage in. And one would be read. So read the word, sing, and pray. Now, in our ministry, we've kind of added one word to that, teach, because I think it's just important to clarify that when you read, there is an element of explanation.
Explanation, short,
it
simple.
It doesn't mean you've been called to be a Bible teacher, that you have the gift of teaching, but you are a parent of a child. Mm-hmm. You are inherently more qualified to explain meaning into texts than your young child is.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of split it up into those four things: read, teach, pray, sing. And those are pretty accessible and approachable, I think. You know, okay, I need to read the word to my children. Why not read them just a devotional? Why not read them just some pseudo-scriptural thing? Because the word is true, the word is relevant, and it's how God speaks to us, right? And so if we're not reading that over our kids, we might as well just punt the whole thing. And then when it comes to teach, we don't want to overcomplicate it. And so one of the frameworks that I like is asking questions like, what does this show us about God? Mm-hmm. What does this passage show us about people? And what does it show us about our need for a Savior, our need for Jesus?
Yeah.
And if you just look at the passages and start working through those answers before you read it to your kids, you'll realize, hey, I probably have more to teach them than I thought I did. Mm-hmm. Then there's sing, and sing is a fun one. Martha, do you want to talk about sing?
Well, I just feel like some people get real insecure with the word sing, right? But we are called to sing and praise the Lord, make a joyful noise, whatever that noise is. And I feel like sing is one of those elements that just got forgotten about, you know, because we're like, oh, we sing at church, you know, or they'll sing with their friends in youth group or whatever. But we're called to do that at home. It's the same faith habits. If our kids don't see us doing it Monday through Saturday, why are they ever going to feel like it's worth their time, their value, the importance, that it's true that we're called to do it? So singing, I feel like, can be as simple as singing in the car with Spotify turned up, filling your home with worship in the mornings, turning on worship while you're cooking dinner all together. And yes, like a set aside time with your family to sing together. And what I love that's just organically happened in our family worship time was we kind of kept coming back to this one song. So we've just declared that the song, "To Our God Be the Glory, To Our God Be Praise," is like the Harvey song. Yeah. Like we sing that song and we're like, this is our anthem.
But when that happened, we only did the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is something we can memorize. This is something we can sing every day. And so we've been encouraging families, like, pick a family song. Own it. Let your kids help you pick it. Yeah. And let that just be the song you pick so that you're not always having to find a song on the internet or look at a hymnal.
You're not here to, like, pick a set list every night in your home. I mean, you just sing, you know.
Yeah. Just making it easy.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And I think as a dad and a leader of a household, it's my job to set my kids at ease about singing. And so that especially, Matt, it's true if I'm not a great singer,
mm-hmm.
or my kids are worried about the performative element of singing, just sing as yourself. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to be someone that you're not. And if you're a bad singer, you just sing anyway. And I like to bring this up a lot. Jimmy Buffett is one of our favorite singers. But if you listen to his music, one thing you may notice is he's not particularly, like, his voice isn't beautiful.
Yeah.
It's not excellent. But why do people love it? Why do they trust it? Because he just does it.
Yeah.
He just lets it rip. and no one questions it because he's just confident in it. And I think if your kids see you, even if you're a little bit tone deaf, like, if they just see you pouring your heart out, no matter how much self-consciousness and insecurity you have to get over as their father, like, that puts them at ease. Mm-hmm. They might laugh at you, but then, like, they start to realize that this is not about performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not about the perfect Sunday morning worship set and band. Like, we're just singing as a
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last building block I'd say from the read, teach, sing is pray. And I feel like prayer, we are supposed to do without ceasing, right? So we can pray anytime, and we should pray anytime. But I think it's so important that we model prayer for our children at the youngest of age. I feel like they're even learning prayer when they're in the womb, right? They should hear us praying while they're in the womb. But modeling prayer in the morning, modeling prayer as you begin your day, when you eat meals, when you face hard things, when you pick them up from school, before they're about to take a test, before they have a big game, when you're making a big decision as a family, to bring them into that conversation. And it's not just like, oh, the adults are going to talk about this, y'all stay over there. Like, it's a bring them into it so they can see these things modeled, that when we face XYZ, we go to God first, because whatever we model, they're going to practice.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever example we set, they're going to walk in that way. We pray that they do the rest of their life. So where we are facing different things, whatever it is, we should always go to the Lord and see them, have them see us model prayer in those everyday moments. I feel like that's the easiest one. It's just to pray. And some people are like, I don't pray out loud, right? Like, I've never prayed out loud. I just say, like, just say a sentence, like, mm-hmm. talk to God. This shouldn't be a fancy thing, because too, if you're like, oh Lord, thou, thee, thy, you know, like, your kids also can spot that hypocrite too, of like, I don't think this is like real what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They need to see that real authentic faith too in you.
Yeah. I love though the idea you call them building blocks. I love, because from a parent's standpoint, again, just sometimes seems impossible or daunting,
mm-hmm.
but it's just these small things that you're doing on these, like, throughout your day, these moments that you're doing, these different disciplines and different moments throughout the day. And then all of a sudden, again, you can look back and be like, oh, I didn't think that had my kid didn't even like that. He told me he hated that time, but yet
it had an impact.
And so it had an impact. So that's why I like the imagery. It kind of brings up a great image of you're building something, and it takes time and it takes effort. So at lunch we were talking, you were telling me a story. It's a familiar story for our listeners and viewers to know, but I thought it was really in kind of, I guess I'd never looked at this story this way, but with this idea of what we're building. So tell us a little bit.
So to preface this, like, I just have done children's ministry for a long time, and I love kids, so you can never take that out of me. But I love the story of the three little pigs, yep. Okay? We all know it. The mom sends the pigs off. One picks to build his house out of straw, the next one out of sticks, the last one out of bricks. Well, the wolf comes, blows down the straw house. The pig runs to the next. The wolf comes again, blows down the sticks house, and then the two pigs run to the pig that built his house out of bricks. And I love that picture because, one, those two pigs are finding refuge and safety in this house that was built so strong. Yeah. And so you could talk all day about like how important it is to build a strong house on real things that are going to stand strong when the storms of life or the wolves come, because evil things are coming at our kids. The world is coming at our kids. And so we need to teach them to stand strong. But that brick house wasn't built one afternoon. Maybe the straw one was, and maybe the stick one was built like in a week, you know, but that brick house took a lot of time. Yeah. And so that is why it was ready to stand the test when the wolf came. And I think we have to remember that when it comes to family discipleship, this is not a one-time fix, a one-time thing. Well, we prayed this week, mm-hmm. you know, the same is true. We can't just eat on Monday nights and be good. Yeah. You know, like we have to feed our bodies the same way we have to feed our souls. We have to feed our kids the truth and build those blocks over time to build something really strong. So there's a lot of, you know, lessons you can take from the three little pigs. But my favorite one is to always think, how did that third pig know to build the house out of bricks?
Well, this was eye-opening for me. Yeah. Never put this together.
Well, in every Three Little Pigs book, if you look back at the illustration at the beginning, when the three little pigs leave, the house they're leaving is a brick house.
Yeah.
And again, this is a children's nursery rhyme story, but it's such a clear picture of family discipleship. Yeah. That one pig, had been taught and listened, yeah. and then applied it in his adult life when he went on to build a house, because probably he had grown up experiencing the safety and joy and trust that there was in this strong house, right? The wolf probably came by a few times and they're like, oh, we're good. Yeah. We have a brick house. Also, he might have even been a part of building that and saw that it took times, or his mom and dad told him stories of when they built their brick yeah. house, you know, and how strong it was. So that pig knew, mm-hmm. I'm going to go build a brick house when I go out into the world. And that's a picture of family discipleship. It's a long process. It takes a lot of time. But like, we pray that our kids know how to build their brick houses when they leave, and for those other pigs and animals around them, like when the world comes at them, like, their friends know that they're a safe place because their hearts have been built up in truth.
It's such a good illustration. I mean, you can go deep, like as you're even telling it again, as I'm hearing it for the second time, so you had three pigs that all grew up in the same house. Well, two of them chose to take a shortcut, mm-hmm. even though they knew it was right.
Mm-hmm.
But then where did they go when trouble came?
Mm-hmm.
They went to what they knew was sure. Oh, they went back to the one that had the brick house.
Yes.
Right. So again, there's heart for us parents that, you know, even that try to do these building blocks, and we set a loving home and we set a Christian, you know, environment, and we pray for our kids and pray over our kids and, you know, do that. But all of a sudden when they get 18, 19, you know, years old, all of a sudden they start making choices that we wouldn't make. Because again, we have to realize that they are humans, and their walk with God is their walk with God.
That mom pig was probably like, what are they doing? She's like, I'm going to call and text them and be like, do you need some bricks? What are you thinking?
What house? And this is the question I ask with my son being in college last year for the first year, is what house did you grow up in, son?
Yes.
You know, the same thing.
Yes.
Like, you've seen all these things. You've known what's right. Yes. But yet sometimes we have to go out because we think it's a shortcut and mm-hmm. we're going to try it. But it's also a little bit of solace and hope for me is, but where did they run? Right?
They ran.
They knew where to go when mm-hmm. trouble came. So, and I think that's for our kids, maybe anybody listening out there that, hey, I'm trying this, but my kid's wayward and I'm setting a good example and I'm doing all these things. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to continue to pray and continue to do, but mm-hmm. there is value in creating these things and spending that time and setting a foundation, even if they do, you know, run for a while and build something that they know is dumb, mm-hmm. you know, but they you're creating a foundation for them to go back to mm-hmm. when that crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I love mm-hmm. that illustration. It's really good.
Oh, I love it too. Yeah. You know, yeah. Kids books, they're real good.
It's the nursery rhyme version of the wise man building his house
on the rock. Yeah, for sure. But it's a really beautiful picture.
Yeah. I always love that one. You know, the context of that is obedience. It's not just, okay, I believe in Jesus. That's not the firm foundation. The firm foundation, if you look, the context of that passage is obedience. Mm-hmm. If you build your life obeying Jesus, a loving obedience and devotion to Jesus, then that's sure, that's solid foundation. Anyway, so that's an aside. So, all right, so we got these building blocks. Anybody can do these. Any moments in time as you're as you're just going about life. But then let's talk about with kids. So this is a specific way.
Can I just make one point before we get to with kids? You said
you're holding her back.
I know.
She's
ready. I know. But I think this is important because it comes up almost every time we talk with people. Is you had mentioned anyone can do this, and the answer is yes. But for some, their family dynamic, it is much harder for them to imagine doing this. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a single parent or a parent where there's a lot of tension in the home, where there's one believer or and one non-believer, or two believers and one is interested and the other parent isn't. Yeah. There's all kinds of dynamics where the ideal, let's have family worship at night where we're all singing together and praying, like it's just almost impossible to imagine. And I would just want to encourage any listeners who are in one of those situations where they want such a firm foundation for their kid and they're just seeing all of the different blockades and obstacles in front of them, just continue small. Like, start small. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pick that time to pray
one
over your child.
One brick at a time, you know? One brick.
Yeah. And for regardless of the context and the family dynamic, it really does start with the building blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, let's shift to with kids because, again, I think this is such a great idea, such a great tool because it makes it simple. It makes it easy because we've talked about this, the time, the fear, the I'm not equipped to, I'm not a you know, I am inferior. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. Well, this tool that you've created and that you guys have called With Kits kind of takes some of that away.
Yes.
And so you guys have this, you have churches that are using these, mm-hmm. that are providing it for families and say, hey, here is a way. Mm-hmm. We're telling you, you need to have a culture of worship in your home. Here's a way.
Yeah.
I mean, that sometimes, you know, again, we're really good at telling people what to do and not showing them how. Mm. And so this is a great way to say, you should be doing this, and here's a simple way to start one brick at a time. So let's talk about with kits. We have props.
Yes. So this
props
is a with
today.
Kit. If you're watching, this is our with kit box. Yeah, it's just
YouTube.
A box of bricks.
There's a plug for YouTube. Good
yeah,
job.
Go watch on YouTube
watch
so y'all
YouTube,
can
get
see
the full
this.
Experience.
Yes, it is a white box with all these shapes on it, but we made it a coloring box because on the inside we throw in some crayons so that kids, we say, they can customize their box. But with, as you know, stands for worship in the home. And what we found, like what we've talked about, families do want their kids to know Jesus. Most have no idea where to start or had it not modeled for them growing up. And so this is a simple kit that has everything included because we know we are the busy parents. We know life is crazy. So even when you finally get the time, what do you do with it? You know, is the next question. And if you have to go Google, Pinterest, cut, you know, print, prepare, the likelihood of this happening is very low, very low. Yeah. So we made this for busy parents. And what we found was just an enormous positive response to this simple box that really broke barriers of that busyness. It also has broken barriers of families that haven't been to church in a long time, but their kids get excited about this box, so they open it and they do it.
Yeah.
And that's just been such an incredible thing. We've also had grandparents who get them, and when their grandkids come visit them, they'll do a with kit.
Yeah.
But everything is in here for family discipleship. You get a whole month of discipleship resources with 4 devotionals for 1 per week of the month with a 30-day reading guide. And then every lesson has a craft or activity, and that's the best part. Everything is included. And every month there's a new theme. So there's a new box coming out all the time. And each one also has scripture memory. We do a scripture memory garland you can hang in your home and conversation cards for those intentional conversations. Because some parents are like, I do want to connect with you on a heart level. I don't even know what to ask you right now, you know, but we crave that. So we throw those in too. And I'm going to show you all of this, but the last fun thing in here is not spiritual at all, but we have a rubber duck and some sensory play in every box, because I believe that little hands that are busy mean their ears are open, and we want our kids' ears open.
This for kids? What age, like, normally would you say
yes,
this is?
Yes, we recommend this is for families with kids ages 3 to 12. Okay. However, we write this for the whole family. All the devotional content is written, and I'll show you in a second, but there's questions for preschool, there's questions for kids, there's questions for the teenagers and the adults. So all the written content is meant to be done as a family all together, and we write it together. And a big passion of Dallas's is that when a family opens this devotional guide, if they've never led before, especially the dad, we don't want any more reason to feel insecure. Yeah. So you're going to find very easy, approachable, simple devotionals. Because again, this is not all God's word. This is just a tool here, you know. Yeah. This is a starting place for families who have never done discipleship, but it's also a great tool for families who are discipling their kids. Yeah. Like, this is something fun to bring into your home. So that's why churches are getting it for their families. We have...
Yes. This camera is zoomed in on you now, so if you want to talk to the audience, you just talk right to them.
Oh, okay. Well, I will. So, yes, on our website, you can shop all of our With Kits or subscribe. We have a kit crew that you can join, and then a With Kit comes to your door every month. So this is our original With Kit. This is our very first kit, and it has had a glow up since its first rendition. But inside every single one, you'll find the devotional guide, and they all are written with the scripture already in them. So even if a family, I don't know, didn't have a Bible or the Bible app, like, the scripture's here, a short devotional, and then we always put a Jesus spotlight so that every devotional has a gospel connection. Then there is a question.
Every time you hit it, it's going to make a
noise. I'm so sorry. Y'all with me? And listeners out there? Y'all, this is Dallas, the tech husband, okay? Anyway, in the devotional, after you read the scripture and there's the teaching part, then there's the conversation, and we have a question for every age group. There's a question for littles, kids, teens, and adults, and then there's the activity. So depending on what week it is, this is week 2, you're doing Stones of Remembrance. And so you go into your With Kit, and you find your activity that has the number 2 on it, and there's everything ready to go to paint your stones of remembrance in a little bag to keep them in for your family. And you'll see all the bags in here ready for each week of an activity so that you don't have to go get anything. If y'all are watching, you see there's tape, there's scissors, there's crafts, there's markers, there's paint markers. And then, like I said, we have our scripture garland. This is Deuteronomy 6:5. So this is like our anchor verse, if you will, of our original kit. Mommies love this to hang on their fireplace or a wall or a window.
You can try to always make it look pretty so it looks good in
your
house.
Yes, mommies. So. I'm going to make it cute for your house. And then in the original With Kit, this is a fun fact. In our other With Kits, we put conversation cards just in a bag. Mm-hmm. But in the original, you get the jar so that then all the other kits, you can add the cards to it. Yes.
One of my favorite times of any day is when Eloise sees us all sitting around. We might be on our phones. She'll go over to the cabinet and she'll pull out the jar. And that's her way of saying, let's put the phones down. Yeah. I want to talk.
Yes. We have families keep these in their car for the carpool line, or they keep them at the dinner table or by the bed. And just add to it. I mean, ours is so full at home now because we've put cards and cards in there.
There's actually some down at Chick-fil-A downtown.
Oh, yes. At Montgomery Plaza, all the Chick-fil-A tables, they have the With conversation cards now. Oh, so exciting. So, yes, this is here to create those meaningful conversations. And some are faith-based, some are fun. Mm-hmm. It's a fun time. But on the back of the devotional guide, I'll just mention that there is a month-long scripture reading guide. So you do have tools to use for the whole month. We have a memory verse song that we have on our website. So every kit will link you to the music so you can sing the Bible verses together. And then we also create a family jam playlist that goes with every theme of every box so that you can read, you can teach, you can sing, and you can pray.
Yeah.
There's short prayers that you can read in every devotional, or, you know, we pray that y'all pray your own prayers too, but these are here for you. This, again, is just a simple place for families to start. They're new every month. They can join the kit crew and get it shipped right to them. Churches, we love to help churches be equipped in this, so we do bulk discounts for our original with kit, Fruit of the Spirit, Christmas and Easter. And you can even get with kits on the Disciple First website.
That's right.
Woo!
That's right. We're going to have a couple on there, some of the standard kits, just so if we've got churches that are using Disciple First material and they happen to go on there shopping, they can see it and then maybe connect with you for a subscription or maybe some of the other boxes too.
Yes.
What I love about it, number one, is, okay, you know, how many of us are this creative to come up with all this, like a schedule and the thing, right? So, but every piece of it is purposeful, even the box. You got it, you know, so my son, he's got ADD, so he's, you know, looking or whatever, so he can grab the duck, and like you're saying, like my kids were younger when fidget spinners were out, so they could fidget with that, or my daughter, she would love to color this and do that. So anyway, I love the intentionality of each piece of it, and so, but the simplicity is what, like, here, just do this.
Open it.
Like, again.
And read.
Like, for me, for the first time I was discipled, the greatest thing was at the time we were using a tool called One-on-One with God, and I had experienced it, so I saw it. I felt like what it was about. And then I was asked to lead it, and they gave me a leader's guide, and there was week one, say this, do this. So, like, especially for the first time, it was really comforting. I have instructions. You know, you don't want it to be robot. I'm not saying it's good to be robotic or anything, but for that first time.
Yeah.
So, again, from a parent, you're out there getting used to this. This is new for me. This is a stretch for me. Everything's there for you to do. So I love that.
And this was really birthed out of, like, a heart to help families. And as a mom, you know, my kids got kits all the time to make cake pops or do a STEM activity or a science experiment. And I was always like, where's the Jesus one, you know? And then I'd see some things come through for children's ministry, but there wasn't anything quite like this for the whole family.
Yeah.
And that's what the heart of a with kit is to be done with the whole family.
Perfect.
And I'd tell families all the time, you know, if you open it up and just read your devotional and craft on Saturday and do your cards in a carpool line, that's great. Like, I'm not here to add more mom guilt and, like, you must do it this way. We're just here to provide a tool that kids beg to do.
Yeah.
Like, they get so excited when their with kit arrives, and parents find it so easy because it's all here.
Yeah.
You just open this bag and you're ready to go.
Perfect.
Just takes a little together time.
I love it.
Yeah.
I know. And again, simple, clear, creative, very well thought out. So, all right. So as we wrap up, any final thoughts on this idea of how do we really set the pace and make our homes a place of worship?
Starts with you, and it starts with your heart.
Yeah.
It starts with the narrative that you wake up believing every morning. And if you wake up believing that your goal today is to chase financial success, worldly success, then your ability to bring a culture of worship in the home is limited to the goals that you set. If you wake up with the narrative that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he is the king and he will be exalted and one day every knee will bow, and that is why you've been put here on this earth, is to serve him. And that's why you've been given kids, is to prepare them for the moment where their knee bends before the Lord. And you know, when they bend their knee before the Lord, will it be because they're used to bending their knee to Jesus? And, like, this is just what they've done for forever? And you help shepherd them in that way? Or will this be the first time that they're bending the knee? And so that mindset, that narrative, why we're here on earth, why we are your child's parents, like, why did God give them to you? That will shape everything you do for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week.
You will cultivate what you celebrate.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I think about that all the time. And if we're celebrating, like, in our actions and our time, our calendar, our finances, that following Jesus is the most important thing, just like out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, like, our life will speak what our overflow of our heart is, too.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you all for taking time being on here, Dallas, even though I know we pay you, but still, thank you for your second love or yeah. probably your first love, which is really being a,
don't
being
make
a
me,
dad.
Don't make
a,
me argue here.
Yeah. So anyway, but and Martha,
this was so fun.
It was awesome to have you in here today. And again, thank you for sharing your heart and also just the work and thought and intentionality you put into these kits and just really leading a great ministry where I think there's a great need. So thank you for being on today.
Thanks for having us.
Everybody that's listening and watching, thank you so much for being on today. We hope this was helpful and informative. If you want to learn more about With Families, just look down the show notes. We'll have all the information, how to connect with them, how to find With Kits. Again, you can find that at on their website and also in the Disciple First store. You can find a good, just some of their standard kits like we have here in the podcast. And we want you to really take advantage of these moments. God has given us a great privilege and gift to invest our life in the people around us, but also our homes and our families. So just hopefully today was encouraging to you that you will take advantage of those times to just build small moments. And again, we're here to help you make and multiply disciples like Jesus. Thanks for watching.